Chapter 1. Get ready to pray. How does one get ready to pray? To me, getting ready to pray involves keeping my daily appointment with God. This is my quiet time with Him. This is the time when I sing songs of praise, or read the Bible or devotionals, meditate on God's Word, or just simply keep still and listen. To some people, a quiet time with God means walking up to the beach or garden, or any place peaceful, and not doing anything but leaving themselves open to God. I also believe one should have a certain heart set or attitudes of the heart when approaching God, foremost of which is humility, gratitude, and a forgiving heart. I will talk about the importance of a quiet time with God and about the heart set or the attitudes of the heart in this chapter. So let me start with the importance of a quiet time with God. We live in a very busy world, but it becomes a challenge to slow down the pace of life. Making a daily appointment with God is one thing, but keeping it is something else entirely. Finding a quiet place at home can be difficult, and more so, quieting one's mind. Do you notice that just when you're trying to keep your mind still, all sorts of thoughts start pouring in? I'll tell you in a short while how I am able to still my mind quickly. I am not a morning person, so I prefer to keep my appointment with God at night before I go to bed, when the rest of the world is sleeping. It also makes me sleep soundly, because I still have God in my thoughts when my head hits the pillow. You may prefer to do it in the early morning, which is also good, as this sets you up for the rest of the day, helping you to deal with the hassles and stresses of life much better. Some people spend a portion of their lunch hour alone with God. It is really up to you what your schedule allows. The most important thing is that you set aside a definite time to get to know Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ set an excellent example for us regarding quiet time. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35 says, "In the morning, while it was still very dark, He got up and went out to a deserted place, and there He prayed." I cannot stress enough the importance of having a regular quiet time with God. But don't look at these quiet times as a formula for getting what you pray for. Don't think that if you don't do it, then your prayers won't get answered, because if you do, you might feel obligated to do it, or it may become a burden instead of a joy. You may feel that God's love is methodical and conditional, and you will eventually quit. Rather, see these quiet times as opportunities to get to know your Creator and to build or strengthen your personal relationship with Him. This builds your faith and trust in Him. Just think of all the people you trust. Why do you trust them? Isn't it because you know them? And how did you get to know them? Isn't it by spending time with them? I firmly believe that getting to know God is the greatest pursuit of our lives. There is nothing that we need more than to know God in an intimate and personal way. As the prophet Jeremiah said, "Thus says the Lord, do not let the wise boast in their wisdom. Do not let the mighty boast in their might. Do not let the wealthy boast in their wealth. But let those who boast in this, that they understand and know me, that I am the Lord. I act with steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, says the Lord." So how do you get started with your quiet time? When I first started out, I had a difficult time quieting down my mind. Just when I started to read the Bible or my daily devotional, my mind would start to give me a list of things I have to buy in the grocery store, or who I need to call that day, or errands I have to run. So I asked God to help me quiet my mind, and a few days later, I got my answer. I was at home listening to the radio when the radio announcer talked about how the Gregorian chant, sung by the monks of the Order of Saint Benedict, from the small monastery of Santo Domingo de Silos in central Spain, has made it to number 1 on Billboard's classical chart and number 3 on its pop chart as well. And then he played the first track of the recording. As soon as I heard it, I felt a certain peace came over me. And that's when I knew that the Gregorian chant will be part of my daily appointment with God. So I bought the CD as well as the accompanying book entitled The Origins, Form, Practice and Healing Power of Gregorian Chant by Catherine LeMay. Since then, the chant has never failed to steal my mind. It is my background music during my quiet time. Lately, I started singing one track since the book has the lyrics of the chant in Latin as well as the English translation. On my first year of keeping my daily appointment with God, I simply followed the readings in my daily missal. I was just starting out, so I felt I needed some structure. I am more spontaneous now. Some days I would focus on the Psalms or Proverbs. There are times when I would focus my reading on some pressing issues of the day because I want to know what God has to say about them. Oftentimes someone would email me and ask me for advice, and so I would look for the appropriate passages in the Bible and reflect on them so I could email back with a sound advice based on the Word of God. While I refer to the traditional concordance, I also find the book entitled Where to Find It in the Bible by Ken Anderson very useful in finding Bible verses dealing with today's contemporary topics such as credit cards, diet, women's rights, politics, and so on. So persevere in your daily appointment with God. The devil will try to stop you. He will try to wear you out and discourage you. But persevere. It's all worth it. Getting to know God and building a relationship with Him is awesome. If having a best friend who is imperfect is one of the best things in life, how much more having a best friend who is perfect? Another thing I do to get ready to pray is I prepare my heart. There is a certain heart set or attitude that one needs to have for prayers to be more effective. Foremost among these, I believe, are gratitude, humility, and forgiveness. Okay, let me start with gratitude. It can be so easy to whine and complain that we forget to be grateful for other things God has blessed us with. Having a grateful heart is so important to our prayer life. It is something God delights in, and when you give pleasure to God, you become closer to Him. It also predisposes you to receive more from God. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6, he said, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And in his first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 18, Paul wrote, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We are all blessed. Everything in life is a blessing, helping us to learn, grow, and become better persons. If you keep on griping about things, then it would be hard for God to bless you and give you what you are asking for. Besides, why would God give you something else to complain about? But seriously, if there is one thing that hinders you from getting what you prayed for, it is an ungrateful heart. So cultivate and maintain a grateful attitude at all times. It is the will of God for you. Another attitude of the heart which should be cultivated is humility. It's hard to be humble, isn't it? It's difficult to be humble, especially when we're so successful in our career, when we're rich and famous, when we're physically endowed, when we're so gifted, and so on. It is so easy to think that everything we have comes from our own efforts, from our hard work, from our skills. We forget that God gave us life. He gave us our talents and skills. If one has an IQ of a genius, that is a gift from God. Everything comes from Him, and He could take it away any time. Being humble in heart means acknowledging the fact that we need God, that without Him, we are nothing. It is an honest admission of our sinfulness, our dependence upon God for forgiveness, and our confidence in His mercy. In the first letter of Peter, chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, he said, "And all of you must clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that He may exalt you in due time." So it's very clear that being proud is not pleasing to God, but being humble is. Pride blocks the grace of God from coming into your life, while a humble heart lets it in. We need to be humble, not only before God, but also in our dealings with others. This means looking at others as God looks at us, and that is with equal value. Some may be more educated, others may be more talented or richer, but our personal value is measured not by what we achieve, but who we are. We were all created in the image of God, and when He created us, He gave us our own unique qualities, but He gave us all the ability to love and to receive love, to choose what is right, and to serve others as Christ serves us all. What are we to do, therefore, with our arrogance, when even Jesus Himself has humbly chosen to love and to serve? Another heart set that we should have is forgiveness. It is a must that we have a forgiving heart when we come to God. Unforgiveness is a major deterrent to answered prayers. Our Lord Himself tells us to forgive in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 25. Our Lord said, "Whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses." We are but human. We get hurt and offended by other people. Some hurts we let go easily, but there are others we hang on to. It's hard to forgive some wrongs done to us, and I'm not saying that we should deny them, but we have to work through the pain and get healing and understanding from people who care about us. Otherwise, we will be in bondage to those who have hurt us. Forgiveness is the only thing which will set us free. Let go of the hurts, because in time, they will pollute your soul. Always remember that unforgiveness only hurts the other person who is not forgiving. The person who hurt you doesn't feel your pain. You are not punishing him or her, but punishing yourself. Another command to forgive can be found in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 32. He wrote, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you." So have a heart that forgives and pave the way for your prayers to be granted. It's hard to forgive, but remember that forgiveness is first and foremost a decision. When you have decided to forgive, that forgiving feeling will not come right away. It usually takes a while before you can feel it, but you will eventually feel it. It takes time for what is in the mind to flow to the heart.